So good morning, everybody. My name is Jason, and I work here at the church. And every once in a while, I like to take an opportunity just to remind you what Homefront is all about, because I don't want us to lose sight of why we meet and what this is all about. So Homefront is a group of couples that meets every week on Sunday, just like this. And our vision, our God-sized vision, is to strengthen marriages. And kind of secondary to that, part of that is, if you strengthen marriages, you impact the divorce rate. So that's what we are about here at Homefront. And we do that by trying to accomplish our mission, which is to use really effective biblical teaching to impact marriages, and then create a community so you can be supported. So that's what Homefront's all about. So if you're visiting with us this morning, we're thrilled to have you, and just wanted you to understand why we do what we do. We are about to launch into a series this morning called Together. We're going to be in this series for 5 weeks. It's going to take us right up until Thanksgiving, and I'm really excited about it. The series is about sex and intimacy. So it's a tough series, and there's this little voice in the back of my head that keeps saying, keep it clean, Getz, keep it clean, as we launch into sex and intimacy. And I'm actually going to switch it around a little bit. I'm going to say we're going to talk about intimacy and then sex, and I'll tell you why in a minute. You know, it's funny when you have kids and they start to get older, eventually this topic comes up in your parenting, and Bridget and I have taken our two oldest, and now we're about to take our third away to talk about the topic of the birds and the bees. And when we took Liam away, it was an interesting weekend, and a lot of the time he was like a deer in headlights. He was 10 years old, and we started talking to him about, we call it the passage weekend. So I took him away for the passage weekend. We did camping and fishing and hiking and all sorts of manly fun stuff. And part of the curriculum that I went through was toward the end, I talked about this principle of purity, and I was trying to explain to him what purity was and to strive for purity. And he was very, very confused. And after a couple hours of him just not being himself, I finally said, Liam, is something confusing? Are you having a really tough time? And at first he wouldn't say anything. And finally he said, okay, Dad, I just have to ask. If you can only do it one time, how do you have six kids? And I was like, no, Liam, when we're talking about purity, no, you do it lots. And I was like, no, I mean. No, you only get one first time, Liam. We had to explain. You only get one first time, and that's the principle of purity. And then we take Catherine away for the weekend, and we start talking about the birds and the bees. And the big takeaway from Catherine's weekend, Bridget was there with her, and at the end of the weekend, she finally said, I just can't believe you do that with Dad. So I guess I'm so repulsive, you can't even imagine. I guess any kid thinking about their kids or their parents just kind of grosses you out. But seriously, as we kick off this series called Together, I'm really excited. And the reason why I say intimacy and sex is oftentimes we put those two together, sex and intimacy. But really, it's intimacy, which is relationship, which is closeness. You have intimacy with the people that you interact with. It's just to varying degrees. But intimacy is a closeness and friendship that you feel with other people. And then part of that intimacy with your bride, with your husband, part of that intimacy manifests itself and plays out in sexual intercourse, which we will certainly talk about. We're not going to get into today, but we will certainly talk about in the latter part of the series. But first, I want to focus on intimacy. And if you guys did not have a chance to go to the Marriage Booster, which was last Friday, we had a big weekend last weekend with the Marriage Booster and with Homefront in the Park. By the way, why couldn't it be this nice and warm last week when we were out there instead of freezing? But that's okay. The Lord was good and blessed our time together. If you have not had a chance or weren't able to attend the Marriage Booster that Paul Goodnight spoke on, he and I worked together. That was the kickoff to this series. So what I'll ask of you, and we only posted it online late last week, so I didn't even send it out to you, but I'll have Brad send it out early this week, the link to it. If you did not listen to or hear Paul's talk, first off, he's just phenomenal. It's just Paul, and he's great. But he did a great job, and I'm building off of what he said. So yeah, I would encourage you all to go back and listen to that. If that happens to be your date night this week, I would encourage you to go listen to it together, talk about it, answer the questions that are there posted online for you together, and then that'll give you even more of a foundation to build upon as we get into this series. But one of the key points that he brought up that I'm going to build off of today is that intimacy has three components. Those of you that were there, what are the three components of intimacy? Give me one. There's a spiritual component to intimacy, absolutely. What else? There's an emotional component to intimacy. And what's the other? Physical. There's a physical. So there is a physical, spiritual, and emotional component to intimacy. So intimacy, and that's why I say intimacy and sex, because intimacy is the broader relationship between you and your spouse. And that's what we're going to focus on today. And that intimacy contains spiritual, physical, and emotional components. That is intimacy. And what we're going to do today is set the stage for what we're going to do for the rest of the series. Because I don't know if you're like me, but I'm a compartmental kind of guy. You know, I'm everything about me is boxes. It's like, and I can shift. I can be in the home box or the work box. I can be in the sports box, the coach box. I kind of float around between the boxes, but my boxes, they don't really collide much. I'm like one place or the other. And some of us that are like that, we think, well, this is the physical component of our relationship. We think this is the sex box, or we think this is the relational component. This is the spiritual component of our relationship. And we focus on those, but we don't tend to, those of us that think like me or wired like me, they don't mesh together very often. And so what we have to do is start thinking about what all of these components mean together. And again, if you're like me, in our relationship, we're going to talk about the physical component later, but I'm just going to use that as an example to kind of segue to where we're going. Sometimes in my relationship with Bridget, we might not be as close physically as I would like, or we might not be as close physically as she would like. In other words, we're just not physically together as much. And I put that in a box and I say, well, physically we're not doing great, but otherwise we're doing great, because I separate them. And some of you might think like that too. Well, spiritually, you know, we're not really connecting spiritually, but other than that, we're doing great. But the reality is that they're all intertwined together, and they're all part of intimacy. And when we put them into a box, we can easily downplay one and say, well, that's not great, bless you. Things aren't going well over here, but we're making up for it over here. Everything's balancing out. Or you focus, or maybe you get negative and you say, I just can't believe that we can't connect over here. This isn't going well. And your spouse will be like, what's the big deal? That's just one aspect of our relationship. But what we have to remind ourselves of is that intimacy is all intertwined together, all intertwined together. So today, we're going to look at the danger of separating, of compartmentalizing, of putting these different components in boxes and not recognizing our key point for today, that intimacy, relationship, closeness is really, really important. And for some of you, you're like, duh, Jason, I get it. Intimacy is important. But no, it's really important. And I don't get that just because I feel it in my own relationship. I get that because God says that it's really, really important. In fact, he has an account that shows us just how important it is. So I'd ask that you turn with me to the very beginning of it all, back in Genesis. And for those of you guys that have hung out with me at all, you know that I love the book of Genesis, because the book of Genesis in so many ways sets the stage for everything. Not only are we created there, but it gives us deep, deep insight. If you've ever done any sort of scripture study, some people are really high on this concept of the first mention principle. Anytime something comes up for the first time in scripture, it's really important, because God in his sovereignty knows that it's important, and he puts it there and he says something about it when he mentions it first, that gives you an insight into everything else. So Genesis, because it's the very first book of the Bible, has a lot of first mentions, and it sets the stage for themes that we see woven all throughout Scripture. So we're going to look at the account of Adam and Eve, and just to bring us up to speed, God created everything. Finally, he creates, on the sixth day, he creates man. He realizes that man, Adam, cannot be alone. He creates man's partner, Eve. And throughout today, it's a very serious account. And by the way, I will take a quick side note. Reston Bible Church as a whole, and Jason Getz as a person, we believe in the Bible through and through, that it is the Word of God, and that it is a historical account. So some of you will hear different things around Adam and Eve. It's just a story. It's just a picture of what we need to understand. That's not really creation. I'm not going to get into those debates today, but I would love to get into those debates with you. So if you would like to talk about that with me, if you have any questions, I'm not trying to sweep it under the rug here. Just want to let you know where we stand as a church and where I stand. I believe that physically there was a man and woman, Adam and Eve, created by God. They were in the Garden of Eden together, and that everything comes out of that. So if you would like to chat about that with me, if you have differing thoughts, I'd love to explore that with you. I welcome the opportunity. But I'm treating it like a literal story because we believe that it is a literal story. So that being said, very serious story, but we're going to have a little fun with it today just so we can enjoy our time together. So a few cartoons for you. Remember when Adam and Eve were created, they were the only ones there. Okay, it was just Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve were created and the world was created, there was shalom, if you've ever heard that word before. Shalom, if you ask a Jew, it's a Jewish word, a Hebrew word, if you ask them what the word shalom means, they'll quickly say, well, it means peace. But shalom means a lot more than peace. That's how we tend to use it today. You might even say shalom to someone, which means peace be with you. But shalom in the original Hebrew actually meant the way things were intended to be. The way things were intended to be. So there was total shalom in the garden at the beginning of time. In other words, it was exactly how God created the world to be. And it's mind-boggling, and I'm not going to try to get into all the nuances with you because I want you to talk about it at your tables. It's one of your questions. But try to imagine a perfect place. We can't even do it because the world that we live in is so broken, and we see hurt and pain and suffering, and we can't even imagine the world being perfect, but literally it was a perfect place. You didn't have to water your lawn. The sun was shining. Every day was beautiful. The flowers were always blooming. The animals all got along. I mean, it was the perfect place. And man and woman got along perfectly as well. And there was none of this. So Adam and Eve didn't have any sort of bad relationship at all. There was no jealousy, not just because there were no other women in the garden. There was no jealousy because jealousy didn't exist. Fear didn't exist. Anxiety didn't exist. It was not in the world the way that God created it to be. It was absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. And for our purposes of our discussion today, in terms of intimacy, physical, spiritual, emotional closeness between a man and a woman, it was perfect. Perfect. They were perfectly close. There was no division between them. There was no separation. They were in complete unity with one another. And I don't want to belabor it too much, but it's really cool to think about that that's how God created it. And that's how God created and intends for us to be with our spouse. Perfect unity. Now, it's not going to get there because of something that happened in the garden that we're going to talk about. But that's what God intended, and that's how he made it to be. But there was one rule in the garden. There was the tree of eternal life, and there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve were forbidden to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Why were they forbidden to eat? Because everything was pure. Everything was innocent. Everything was perfect in their relationship with one another. And as soon as we take on the ability to judge right and wrong, that means that there is wrong, and there was no wrong, so they didn't even need it because everything was perfect. But something happened. There was a decision made, and you guys know the story. There was a decision made. If you turn to me to Genesis 3, the serpent came along and enticed the woman, enticed Eve, and said, basically twisted God's word, and we're not going to get into that today, though I love the account. Twisted God's words and tricked Eve, enticed Eve, and this is what happened. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. At that moment, when Eve partook of the fruit, the world changed. And now, 5,000 or so years later, we reap everything that took place back then. Because the world started taking a nosedive. And I'm not here to be negative Nelly or depressing. Just saying the reality is God created the world as a perfect place. But when we made the decision, because he gave us free will, when we made the decision to enter into sin, the world began to change, and lots of bad things entered the world. And Eve could try to justify it all she wants, but the reality is the whole world one day would know, and we know it today because we feel it. We feel it in the world that we live, that the world is not a perfect place. And if I were to, we could talk about wars and disease and pain and suffering and even death. But let's bring it a little closer to home. That perfect relationship that was designed by God between man and woman, I don't know about you guys, but most days it doesn't feel too perfect in our house. Maybe that's just us. But there's a brokenness that takes place in our home where Bridget and I do not feel physically close, spiritually close, emotionally close, regularly. There's a dynamic of sin within our home because it started back then. And I don't just have Adam's sin to bear, but I have my own foolish decisions to bear. And it impacts our relationship. Now look what happened. Now we get to the key point here. Genesis 3:7. Then the eyes of both were open. That didn't mean that Adam and Eve had closed eyes, that they didn't have vision. They had vision. What that means is that they were open to see things that they otherwise had not seen, that up to this point they had not seen. So remember, everything was perfect. The world was perfect. The little garden that they lived in was perfect. Their relationship was perfect. But their eyes were open because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, once they partook of that, they were like God, not like God as in power and all of his attributes, but like God in some attributes, in that they would be able to see that there is evil. Now here, I want to stop here. Before you read on, before I bring it up here, the eyes of both were open. You would think, okay, think about all the sin in the world that we live in. Their eyes were opened. What is the very first thing that you would think if you didn't read on in your Bible, and if I don't advance the slide, what's the very first thing that you would see? Well, you would see that they were starting to age. You would see that animals were probably attacking one another, which up to that point was not happening because they all lived in peace and harmony. You would see that the grass was getting long, probably need cut, because things weren't perfect anymore. You would see that there was actually work to be done. There were probably thorn bushes growing now. Adam and Eve would see all sorts of things that they had never seen before as sin entered the world, and then it continued to, like a ball rolling down a hill to the point where we sit here right today. They would see lots of change. What do you think would be the very first thing that they would notice? And they knew that they were naked. Intimacy is important. We feel it But we read it too. Out of all things that would have been impacted with the very first sin, the very first impact was felt in that they knew that they were naked. Up to that point, it didn't matter. They were perfectly spiritually, physically, emotionally close. Perfectly close. But when sin entered the world, the very first thing that they saw was that they were naked. All of the purity, all of the innocence, all of the beauty, all of the connection that took place. I have no idea what that looked like or felt like. I can't, it blows my mind to even think about. But everything that was perfectly wholesome between Adam and Eve was broken. And it's the very first thing that they noticed. And what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. In other words, you see all the depictions of them wearing leaves. You've seen that before. You've heard it before. Why? What is that symbolic of? That's symbolic of there was a perfect unity between them that now was broken, was now severed. They never thought about seeing each other naked. They never thought anything of it before. But now they felt shame. They felt pain. They felt desire. They felt jealousy. They felt all of these emotions that weren't even there before because they opened their eyes and they saw. If we dig a little deeper, what it comes down to in intimacy is relationship. And as soon as sin entered the world, the very first thing that happened was that Adam and Eve saw their relationship very differently. They wanted a barrier between themselves and the person that they love. And that barrier was the leaves. And then if we read on, which we're not going to do this morning, if we read on, the next thing that happened in this account is that God entered the garden because there was perfect unity, not only between Adam and Eve, but between Adam and his creator, Eve and her creator. There was perfect unity. But instead of being out in the open where they always were, somebody help me out with the story. What did they do? They hid. They hid because sin breaks relationship. It breaks intimacy. It breaks closeness. Not only between, where's Bridget? Husband and wife who are called to be one, but it breaks intimacy between us and the Creator. And that's not how we were intended to be. Sin impacts relationship. Folks, intimacy is really, really important. And like I said, the purpose of this morning is just to, hopefully, my prayer is that it would open your eyes, that those three components of intimacy, those three components of closeness, there's a reason why we struggle in those areas. And I want to be really direct for just a moment. Some of you in this room didn't want to come this morning because you knew that this was going to be the series. Some of you in this room know the pain that can come along with physical intimacy or the lack thereof. Some of you in this room know the pain that can come along with emotional intimacy and the lack thereof. And this is a tough topic. But intimacy is important, and the reason why we're addressing it is because there is hope. There is hope. So whatever you feel in your relationship in any of those three areas that is not wholesome and pure and good like the way God intended it to be, there is hope. God did not leave us in that state of being separated from Him. He didn't leave Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes, so to speak. He does not leave us hiding in the bushes, fearing Him, creating barriers between our relationship with Him. He sent His Son to cover over all of the sin, all the decisions we make to add to that barrier. That's the redemption in Christ. And folks, the God of the universe that sent His Son, that made the blind see, the deaf hear, walked on water, fed 4,000, fed 5,000, the God of the universe that raised another man from the dead, others from the dead, and that most importantly, raised his son from the dead, because in that resurrection, he never died. He rose forever. That God can redeem any area of intimacy in your relationship that is broken. He can redeem that. He can restore that. And that's what this series is all about. So kudos to you if you felt the tug, I don't want to come this morning, but you came. This is a tough series. This is a tough topic. But this is what the Lord intends for us. This is how he made it. And this is what he wants us to work back to, empowered by Christ. It was painful. You might feel like this sometimes. And when Adam and Eve finally passed away, there were a few good things that we could say about them. She did indeed used to be married to the perfect man. Some of you might feel like that. I thought I married the perfect guy. And then a year in, maybe a day in, a year in, 5 years in, you realize it's not the perfect guy. And we're not going to be perfect, but in our relationship with the Heavenly Father, we can work toward restoring that intimacy with him, up, down, and then with our spouse. And that's what our goal is. So let me pray for us, and then we'll dive into our questions. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for making it infinitely clear that intimacy is a really important topic, Lord. It was so important. It was the very first thing that we see happen, the very first consequence that we see of sin, Lord. So you are obviously telling us that it's important. It's something we need to pay attention to. So as we embark upon this series, Lord, of intimacy and sex, would you open our eyes to see things as you desire for us to see them? Change us, conform us into the likeness of your Son so that we can experience just part of the beauty and the purity and the glory and the innocence that was experienced by Adam and Eve in the garden. Father, please allow us to do that. Bless us with that. Father, that's our ask, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So describe shalom in your own words. Why is it significant that the very first recorded consequence of the fall is its impact on relationship? And how do you see this dynamic playing out in your marriage? Go ahead.